traveling today, I mentioned that the Rambam lists the Sefer HaMasorah, 40 generations. He writes much of people from Sinai, Masorah Yoshua, and then he goes generation 3, 4, 5, up until the 40th generation. That was Ravina Rabashi. But he doesn't continue any further. The Meiri, in his introduction to Pirkei Avos, writes the same as the Rambam, but then he continues, Ravina Rabashi, then he tells you which Rabbanon Tavaroi transmitted to whom, which Gaonim transmitted to whom, and whom he received his Masorah from. And the Rambam could have done the same stunt. The Rambam could have also written the Rabbanon Tavaroi and the Gaonim till it comes to his generation. He didn't write that. The Rambam only wrote 40 generations till Ravina Rabashi. So the question is why? So in the history books, there's a machloikis, and in the Achrayim, there's the same machloikis. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi edited the Mishnayos. Does that mean that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had the Mishnayos committed to writing? And from that time on, they used to learn Mishnayos from a written text. Or do we assume not so? The Mishnayos was still being recited Baal Peh. The Torah of Baal Peh was still being transmitted Baal Peh. Until the days of Ravina Rabashi, when Mishnayos were written down, and then they started to teach it. They taught Chazal. So the majority of the historians, the majority of the Achrayim, assume the second one. The Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi did not write down the Mishnayos. He edited the Mishnayos. He edited them so that when the Talmidim would recite the Mishnayos Baal Peh, they should say this text, but it was still not written down. Torah Baal Peh was still supposed to be transmitted Baal Peh. Until later in the days of Ravina and Ravashi, they realized that if they'll still continue to insist on transmitting the Torah Baal Peh, they're going to lose out. Big chunks of the halacha will be forgotten. So from that time on, they insist on writing down the text of the Mishnayos and writing down the text of the Gemara. So apparently the Rambam feels like that as well. That the Torah Shebaal Peh was still being transmitted Baal Peh till the days of Ravina Rabashi. And that was a cutoff point of Pihalocha. Masorah means the transmission of the Torah Shebaal Peh when it's being transmitted Baal Peh. So in the fullest sense of the word, the Masorah only lasted till the days of Ravina Rabashi. After Ravina Rabashi, we still have a Masorah, but it's not on the same level as until the days of Ravina Rabashi. So now the Masorah is being transmitted by reading a text. The Rebbe reads Mishnayos, he reads Shulchan Aruch, he reads Gemara, he reads the Tosfos Innovating inside, and he interprets and he comments on it. But because the Torah Shebaal Peh is being transmitted mitoch haksav in recent generations, since the days of Rabbi Rabashi, that's a lower level of Masorah. And this is also assumed to be the reason why we mentioned that the Rambam is the one who made this famous, but all the other Rishonim say the same, that a Talmud Chacham from a later generation has the right to disagree with a Talmud Chacham in an earlier generation, even though he's not as great as the one from the earlier generation. We only require that the Talmud Chacham from the later generation should be greater b'chokhmah b'minyan, greater in knowledge and greater in the number of rabbanim or in age. B'minyan, two kind of interpretations of what it means, b'minyan. We only insist on greater b'chokhmah b'minyan if we want to repeal a rabbinic enactment. We want to knock down a takana de rabbanim, so the later version has to be greater b'chokhmah b'minyan. But if you're arguing what the halacha is, that's the halacha v'asar ha-shefet v'shiyev v'yamim ha'ayim, ein lecha ha-shefet sh'biyamecha. If the Talmud Chacham in our generation is entitled to an opinion, so he's even entitled to disagree with the Chasam Sofer and the Rebbe Yehuda. So when the Rambam formulates this statement, the Rambam was not the first one. All the Rishonim say like that. They all quote this from the Talmud Yerushalmi. When the Rambam formulates this statement in the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, so Rabbi Yosef Karo in his commentary on the side of the Rambam poses a question. We find very often Amaroyim formulated in, and then the Gemara says, but it's against all the Tanoim. You have a Mishnah, you have a Braisa. The Gemara says, Tiyufta. The opinion of the Amora is totally rejected because it's against all the Tanoim. So why do you reject it? Because it's against all the Tanoim. The Talmid HaChachamim in every generation are entitled to disagree with those in the earlier generation if they're entitled to an opinion. So the Amora were entitled to an opinion. So why doesn't an Amora have the right to disagree with the Tana? So the case of Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Karo writes, There is no such halacha that an Amora can't disagree with the Tana. Well, there is no halacha of a Tana of an Amora. An Amora has the right to disagree with the Tana. But this was an attitude the Abaraim had. If they can see both sides, they can see, yes, if a Shaila comes up, and they can see Lachum and Lakuma, they can see both sides. And they think it makes more sense in one direction than the other. But then you demonstrate to them that none of the Tanaim agree with them, then they all had the attitude they'll give in to all the Tanaim. They're not going to insist on their opinion. But strictly speaking, it's not really a Tiyukta. You can't really reject what an Amora says because he disagrees with all the Tanaim. Because that's the halacha. Ein lo shefet, ein lo chal shefet shebi yamecha. That's how the Kesem Mishnah says. Rabbi Chana Wasserman points out that he once asked Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, his Rebbe, the following humorous kasha. That the Gemara often quotes that Rab disagrees with Tanoi. So the Gemara says, how can he disagree with the Tanoi? Or Roim don't disagree. The Gemara says, Rab has the status of a Tana. Rab Tana hu Pala. Rab is a Tana. He has the right to disagree. So Tosis points out in the beginning of Ksubis that Rabbi Yochanan felt that Rab did not have the status of a Tana, and Rab did not have the right to disagree with all the Tanoim. So Rabbi Chana Wasserman asked the kasha of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, we have a klalim, sak aloche, whenever there's a machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan, aloche k Rabbi Yochanan, we pass him like Rabbi Yochanan. So whenever Rab disagrees with all the Tanoim, because he feels that he has the right to disagree, so Rabbi Yochanan holds he never has the right, that Rab never has the right to disagree. So you should never, if you always pass him like Rabbi Yochanan when he disagrees with Rab, we should reject all of those freedom that Rav said when he's in disagreement with all the Tanoi. So Rabbi Chana Wasserman writes that he asked this kasha of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. So he said, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik said, there is no such halacha that an Amora can't disagree with the Tanoi. He has a right to disagree. It's all signed that he was an Amora. He still has a right to disagree. And the Ramban writes in one place in the end of Baba Kama that we have a few places in the Gemara where Amoraim formulated shittas, and it's against all the Tanoim, we still pass them like the Amoraim. And Amora has the right to disagree with the Tanoim. It's just this was the attitude that they had. If all the Tanoim disagree, and they can see both sides, they can see this side, they can see the other side. But then if they see all the Tanoim disagree, so they give in to the Tanoim. They're not going to insist on their shittas. So the question is, if this is so, we mentioned today while we were traveling, we mentioned yesterday maybe, that in Shulchan Aruch they quote from the Rosh that if someone today, a Talmud Chacham, formulates an opinion and he finds that the Goyim wrote a tshuva, it contradicts what he said. So the Rosh recommends you should consult all the other Rabbanim in your generation, and if they agree with you, then you should paskin against the Goyim. So if the Gedolim today have a right to disagree with the Goyim, and the Amoraim have a right to disagree with the Tanoim, so why can't Rabbanim today disagree with what it says in the Gemara? Just because the Gemara comes to a conclusion, whatever the psak is, so why don't we, if we have a right to disagree with Goyim and Amoraim have a right to disagree with Tanoim, so why is there a cutoff point over here? So that says in the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, yeah, we have a right to disagree with the Goyim, but you can't disagree with what it says in the Gemara. Why not? Why not? What's the rule over here? So the Don Goyim writes in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, that there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia, where the Gemara says that there was such a thing as Sifra Shalada Marishan. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, Achum Zeh Sefer told us Adam. So the simple meaning of the Pasuk sounds like it's implying that the Chumash is a history book of the world. The Chumash is a Shvacha history book of the world. It's not a Sefer told us Adam. The Gemara says that's not what the Pasuk means. The Pasuk means to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam Marishan from day number one, dor dor b'darshav, dor dor b'chachamav, dor dor b'seifrav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam Rishon what's going to happen in every generation, which Rabbanim are going to have an influence on the Pesach Halach and so on. And they quote, the Gemara quotes snatches lines from that Sifra Shal Adam Rishon. So the Gemara tells the story that Rabbi Shmuel were both students of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. Then when it was time for them to get smicha and to go to Babel, each one to establish a yeshiva in a different community, so Rav got smicha, and Shmuel, every day something came up. Rebbe wasn't able to give him smicha, and then he had to leave. The boat was leaving, so he left and he never got smicha. Once he leaves the chutz lords, he can't get smicha. Smicha can only be conferred if the one is giving the smicha, one is receiving the smicha, they both are in Eretz Yisrael. So once the boat left and Shmuel was no longer in Eretz Yisrael, he couldn't get smicha parfal. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yonah Nasi felt very bad about it. They were both star students of his, and he didn't have the ability to give smicha to Shmuel. So the Gemara says that one of the Chachamim told Rabbi Yonah Nasi, don't feel bad about it. This says also in the Sefer Shalad HaMarishan. They're going to be two Talmidim, Rav and Shmuel. And Rav is going to get smicha, Shmuel is not going to get smicha. And apparently that was also relevant, the fact that Shmuel didn't get smicha. That's why we paskan like Rav and Issa the Heter, not like Shmuel. So the Gemara quotes other snatches from the Sefer Shalad HaMarishan. So another line from the Sefer Shalad HaMarishan is, Ravina Ravashi Sofar Ruah. That's the cutoff point in Psak Halacha. What does it mean, a cutoff point? Means that up until the generation of Rabbi Ravashi, the Torah Shebal Peh was being transmitted Bal Peh. So that was in the fullest sense of the word. These were Chachmei HaMasorah. Masorah means when the Torah Shebal Peh is transmitted Bal Peh. From the days of Rabbi Ravashi, that's when they wrote down, that's how Rov Acharonim assume, and that's how most of the historians assume. The Mishnais were not written down by Rabbi Yudah Nasi. It was only written down when it came to the generation of Rabbi Ravashi. So that's why the Rambam only writes the Masorah till Rabbi Ravashi, he stops. He could have given the rest of the generation just like the Miri did, but he holds Al Pidin. That's not called Masorah. Masorah is only when it's in the fullest sense of the word, the Torah Shel Baal Peh is being transmitted from generation to generation Baal Peh, and has halachic significances because of this, that the Chachamim and the later generations, we have a right to disagree with Rishonim. We have a right to disagree with the Gaonim, but we don't have a right to disagree with the Psak that appears in Rabbi and Rav Ashi, because the Talmid Chachamim from the earlier generations have a higher level, a stronger status of Chachmei HaMasorah. And those after Rabbi and Rav Ashi have a lower status, a lower level of Chachmei HaMasorah. So the Rambam's only listing the 40 generations is not just history, it's a halachic principle. The full level of Masorah, of Torah Shebaal Peh, was only the first 40 generations. And after the generation Rabbi Rav Ashi, in a certain sense, as it says in the Sefer Shalad HaMarishan, that's called Sof HaRoh. There's so much about the Rambam, even on the 40 generations, there's what to discuss. Enjoy your meal.